Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Got mail.
Welcome into Knicks Mail.bag, presented by the Strickland and by all of you that support us on Patreon and, of course, our friends at Bet Online and Cut, which we'll get to in just a second. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Alex Wolf. I'm editor and chief of the Strickland. Also, you might know me from Locked On Knicks. I'm joined by my two lovely, beautiful, breathtaking co-hosts. Looking their finest on this evening.
Feel facetious.
That is pretty. Did you do that on purpose because of the question?
No, not at all. I actually just wanted to compliment you guys.
Thank you. But it's very coincidental that you did that today.
I actually haven't even read the questions yet, so joke's on you.
You read that one because you responded to it.
Did I? Oh, yeah, I did. Well, that was about Schwinn, though.
Got him.
Whatever. Anyway. All right. Since both of them have already spoken up, first let's introduce Mr. Warm Perm himself, Marty Wilpon.
3-point goal.
How are you?
Good. Good.
I'm not going to give you a real name today.
Oh, okay. Well,
the real ones know.
It's right there.
Yeah, the real ones know the name. Or they can watch on YouTube. Yeah, subscribe to our
YouTube. Oh, that's right.
I guess you could be listening to this in pod form. Check out the YouTube, please. And then we've got Wackery Delizio.
Yeah. How you doing? What's up, bro? Good. Got my first run yesterday. Thanks. Shout out to spring. Being outside, warm weather in New York City. Got some run at the park. It was real fun.
I went out and just shot around the other day because none of my friends could play that day. Oh. And I think my knees are trying to tell me I should retire from playing basketball, but I'm going to keep playing.
this can only turn out well.
I mean,
I also went for my first run of the spring today. So, yesterday. Yeah. I didn't want it to yesterday, but I didn't have time. So I made sure to do it today.
Zach wasn't saying he went for a run, though. He was saying that he got some run in.
Yeah, correct. But also, you know.
Okay. Sure. That works, you know, too. The difference. You don't play basketball. You don't understand this.
Yeah. You played basketball. That's what you meant.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you literally went for a run.
It's really insane. This man talks about basketball, but
doesn't know what getting some rest.
Basketball. I literally haven't touched a basketball in probably 10 at least 10.
Guys, if we get someone in the $100 Patreon tier, Matt will play basketball and we will video.
We have someone on $100 Patreon here. So
there we go.
If someone does it, we'll now allow you to challenge him to a one-on-one match. Ooh. And he's not allowed to say no.
Wait. Ooh. Okay. Actually, hold on. 150.
Oh.
If you stay in the $150 tier for 6 months straight, at the end of that 6 months,
wow,
I will play basketball with you.
I will. Okay.
One-on-one.
And you will get to feel good about yourself because you'll win 11-0.
I'm open to
against a really tall person who looks like he should probably know how to play basketball.
But doesn't.
Sadly does not. All right. I'm going to let everybody know about our sponsors real quick. First off, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. and head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And we've got another great new sponsor. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything, sports games, who's fast. That's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. And, you know, if you want to go on and make a friendly wager with your friends, you don't have to just go, like, onto one of the betting sites anymore. You don't just have to go on BetOnline anymore, though you should do that, of course, since they are also a sponsor. But you can just set friendly wagers amongst your friends right through the Cut app now. It's pretty cool. Allows you to just kind of have the energy of sitting in the room together and just slapping $20 on the table, but doing it over your phones so that you can do it from different rooms, different states, different countries, whatever you want to do. So use our promo code BELIEVE for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code. Cut, put your money where your mouth is.
And if you want to commit a crime, use Cut in one of those other 9 states.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I didn't want to interrupt the ad with that joke, but I had to get it out. Because when they said legal or, in 3 states, my first thought was so illegal in the other 9
states. I was thinking the same thing. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, No, that is how it works, though, except they geo-track you, unfortunately.
I know they do. Because it's just a funny thing, like, just like, hey, do this in, I think it's not legal in California. So do this in California and commit a crime. Like, that's
honestly, I won't name drop them, but one of the fantasy sports games or whatever that has sponsored Locked On Knicks at some point, somehow is not legal in New Jersey. And I was like, New Jersey is the most corrupt, gambling forward. Piece of shit state in the union. How do we not have access?
Sports gambling is legal in New Jersey. How, like, just generally speaking,
everything else is legal in New Jersey. Every other app ever, and this one particular app is not. And I have to huck it as if I've played it before, and I can't because I live in fucking New Jersey. Anyway, I guess this is all to say. I guess I should move to New York. I'm the only one left here now. It's sad. Actually, I might be the only Strickland person that lives in Jersey now.
I don't know.
Whatever. We don't have time for this.
Anyway, we also don't want to dox everybody.
Schwinn lives in.
Good on
I'm
that.
I'm not going to say it out loud.
But... No, you should have like just put a bleep in there.
Oh, you think I'm going to produce this that hard? I was going to say.
No, what will I've heard is going into this. I am so
mad. Oh, my God. All right, we're off to a great start. Anyway, let me also give you guys a quick Patreon pitch. So if you're not supporting us on Patreon already, well, you might be wondering where the questions for this episode come from, and that is from our Discord, which you can only access if you are part of our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/thestrickland or go to thestrick.land and hit the Patreon tab there, and you can become a member yourself. With that membership, you not only get access to the Discord and the ability to ask us questions and to submit takes from Obvious Bozos, our sister show here on the Strickland Podcast Network, but you also get to listen to the full edition of Friday Pod Strickland. And that's all just for $6 a month. It's like one Starbucks venti, not even a venti, probably a grande frappuccino, something like that per month. You know, you can live without one of those per month, and you can support your favorite Knicks people at the Strickland. Now, for 1.5 frappuccinos a month, you can also get written pieces from Matthew Miranda, which drop periodically, as well as from other people from time to time. If someone else has a really fantastic piece to write, we will put that up on Patreon as well. You also get access to Schwinn's solo pod, Strick and Roll, which is big if you're into Schwinn. I can never listen that much Schwinn, but you might want to, you sicko. So, you know, it's there for you if you want to take it. Plus other perks like... What's that?
Just the parasocial relationships.
Yeah, pretty much. If you got a real parasocial relationship...
If you think Schwinn is your friend, he's not, but you can listen to his podcast.
Well, if you're in the Discord, Schwinn automatically becomes your friend. That's true. Loves everybody in our Discord.
What does that mean?
Except for Zach. Yeah.
You never post in the Discord.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is why Schwinn doesn't like him.
I think that's not the only reason.
Yeah, there's probably other reasons. Anyway, but yeah, so you could do that. You could do tiers going anywhere from $15 a month all the way up to $100 a month, potentially $150 a month. If you do that for 6 months, you get to school Matt one-on-one in basketball outside.
He sucks.
He does suck.
No, I'm not joking. If you want to make it feel, if you want to feel better about yourself and you have $900 to spare, then, you know, do it and you will be, I will not score against you.
You'll be the most popular person in Discord for sure.
Yeah. I mean, am I right? Like $900, probably cheaper than therapy, and you can get that same boost.
I mean, it depends on if you can wait 6 months for your
therapy or not. Yeah. But if you need like basketball
absolution, that's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either 100%. Way. Anyway, support us on Patreon. There's lots of good stuff. You can take, you know, part in this sort of banter every single day with all of our lovely friends on the Strickland Discord. So check that out. Anyway, let's get into some questions here because we got some pretty fun ones. So this one, first one comes from Jax365 in the Discord. Might want to change his name around. It says renowned OG hater.
Ooh.
Hot take, yeah, buddy. After that game. Ooh, okay.
Even Vivek doesn't have that in it. And like Mr. What did he call him for a month and a half?
Brittle Brit.
Whatever. Brittle Brit. Yeah. Even he doesn't say that.
Yeah. So anyway, but still a good question here, which is why I chose it to be the one to lead the show. Are the Knicks the best run New York franchise at the moment? Which I think is, I picked this the lead question because I think it's particularly poignant at the moment because we're in the thick of basketball season. Baseball is in spring training. Football is in the midst of like free agency and draft lead up, which is a big team building time for them. Hockey obviously is in season as well. I think the other question here is, does Dolan own the two best run franchises in New York right now?
Well.
Because the Rangers, aren't they like number one in the East?
Yeah, I don't really know because I don't follow hockey, but
I'm going to look it up while you guys talk this out. Matt, give your first take here.
Oh, okay. My general sense is that the Rangers are pretty well run, but I don't really watch hockey occasionally in the playoffs. But I mean, the Yankees are Yankees fans will tell you they're pretty unhappy with them. I can tell you I'm pretty unhappy with the Mets at the moment. The Giants are terrible. The Jets, their quarterback might be a vice presidential candidate. So, you know, for a lunatic vaccine denying independent candidate. So that's cool. The Nets are bad. I don't know shit about the Islanders or the Devils, but I think it's the Knicks and the Rangers.
That's a bold New Jersey move to include the Devils in there too.
Yeah, seriously.
They're New York.
You're really trying to slide that one in there.
They're New York adjacent. I mean, I would probably call them a New York area team because
they're just as close as the Giants and Jets are to the city.
Yeah, that's for sure. Actually, technically closer, I think.
Are they?
Yeah, actually, it's quicker to get to Prudential Center than it is to get
distance wise. New York is further, but yeah, it is easier to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Rangers are third in the East in points right now in the NHL. So they're the number three seed. And from what my friend, who's a big Devils fan, tells me, they're very good this year. So, yeah, I think Dolan might own the two best run teams in New York right now. Like,
what we're saying is Dolan has the Midas touch, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
Are we saying that there's never been a better sports owner in New York history?
What I'm saying is, Dolan's never done anything wrong.
Other than all the atrocities.
Yeah, other than all the stuff that he's done that's horrible, he's never done anything wrong.
No, he can't. It's actually, that's what Midas means.
Right, you know, Midas touches. Everything touches turns to gold.
There can't be a case made for the Mets as much as I hate it. Like, all they've done is disappoint since Steve Cohen took over, given the amount of money that they spent.
I mean, if they, you know, they have another 45 minutes or so to sign Blake Snell or JD Martinez, and maybe I'll change my tune on that. But for now, no, pretty unhappy.
And then the Yankees, I mean, it seems like people are kind of jazzed about like Soto.
Yeah, but look at baseball chat.
Mets fans are convinced that he's gone.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about Yankees fans being very unhappy because Gerrit Cole is injured, and I think the Yankees are lying about how bad the injury is, and Judge is injured, and they're unhappy.
Oh, well, that sucks. yeah, meanwhile, the Knicks are basically positioned to potentially compete for championships soon. So, I don't know. I think it's between the Knicks and the Rangers at this point for best run, because the Rangers have been consistently good for a number of years now, too. I think have more of a rep of being good during the regular season and then completely blowing it in the playoffs, maybe even more so than the Knicks. Cause the Knicks usually just don't even make the playoffs, but at least when they do, sometimes they make it to the second round and stuff. I know the Rangers, it's been kind of a complicated history in that regard. But it's gotta be the Knicks or Rangers, which means James Dolan wins the city of New York. I'm not even willing to entertain the idea of the Nets because they are probably,
joke.
It's never the Jets, I think, might be the worst run at this point. Or the Giants. The two football teams are making real poor showings right now.
I actually do not think the Giants are being run that horribly, except for the Jones contract, but you know, which is a big one. I'm not going to say they're being run like super, they're not being run better than the Knicks or Rangers, but I would not put them at the bottom, actually.
They're all stink.
Would you put them better than the Mets or the Yankees?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like, I think
it's tough not to grade the Mets and Yankees on a curve, though, because they're both, you know, they operate in leagues with no salary cap, and they're the two, probably two of the richest teams in their respective leagues. So just kind of,
I mean, it's them and the Dodgers are the three richest. Yeah.
And it just seems like, aren't the Blue Jays like secretly really rich?
Yeah, but they don't actually spend money. They just keep talking about how much money. The same as the Giants. Like, the Blues and Giants are always just like, oh, we could spend so much money, and then they never do it. Yeah,
because they got like that Toronto sports group that owns like all the Toronto sports teams is like secretly the most wealthy ownership group in like
all sports. So Steve Cohen's the most wealthy individual owner, but like Rogers Sports Group or whatever they're called is like 10 times as wealthy as he is. But it's just a group of people. So
either way, I think you could just argue that they should always be graded on a curve because they should be better than everybody else, and yet they've just consistently shit the bed, especially in recent history. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's it. The Knicks are the best run. We'll say just because we're on a Knicks podcast, but also the Rangers right there too, which means Dolan just keeps winning. And that's it. All right, let's move to our next question. This comes from Zan Rosen. Which Strickland or Strickcord member will lead the holy war against Halliburton?
Did you guys see Doom?
Yeah. It's obviously Quinn. And
it's not Schwinn. And I'll tell you why. Lisan Al-Gaib has to be a white man. That's the whole point. It's a white savior narrative, so it can't be Schwinn.
I'm not even sure who it would be. Certainly not me. I don't give a shit.
Alex.
So what I'm hearing is Zach is part of the woke mob trying to destroy our sacred franchises.
That's right.
Yeah. What? What the fuck?
No, but I mean, like, the whole point of Dune is like, is like a commentary on the white savior narrative. So I don't think we could pick Schwinn as Lisan Al-Gaib,
which I just like. So it has to be me?
Undermining.
You're the leader of the group.
Can it be like Baby Zach?
It could be Baby Zach. Actually, yeah. He looks kind of like Chalamet.
Yeah, he looks the closest to Timothée Chalamet. Yeah. You know, he's got like the more like gaunt features, you know, all that stuff.
Gaunt feet. That's like,
did the you see him dating Zendaya though?
No, I consider gaunt features to be like pronounced cheekbones and stuff.
Gaunt is not a nice way of putting that.
But I think Timothée Chalamet has kind of a round face, actually, though.
Does he?
Doing? What are you talking about?
I think he's got pretty damn strong cheekbones.
Matt, at what point did you see a move? Have you seen this person? I don't understand.
It's I'm not remembering his face. I'm literally saying I'm wrong.
Like, Matt, you and I have chubby cheeks, my dude. Like, we look nothing like Timothée Chalamet.
You can have a round face and not be heavy.
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't think he has a round face.
I was wrong.
He's extremely angular.
Yeah, he does have an angular face. I was misremembering.
Also went to school with Jeremy Cohen. Did you know that?
Because didn't he tell us that one time when we were?
Yeah, I don't know if you were there. Like, I just know I've heard that from him at least.
No, it was when we were at my apartment live pod. He told us all. Because it was, I think it was like when he had just gotten announced to be like Paul Atreides.
Maybe. that sounds like that could have been a thing that happened.
I mean, it was no, it wouldn't have been before. No, because that was before COVID. So I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's move to our next question. I'm not going to be able to participate in this. I might have to like mute and walk away for a second and let you guys discuss because I haven't gotten to watch it yet. Is Dune 2 the best movie of the decade so far or of the century from Zan Rosen?
Wants to know. No one knows.
Sorry, is that Justin's hand, by the way? But yeah. No, come on.
Do you guys want a spoiler talk for like a second?
Always shout out Zan every time.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you guys want a spoiler talk for a second? I can like pick up on that for like 2 minutes.
Spoiler. I don't think it's necessarily a spoiler. It's, like, yeah, it's not like a plot-driven movie to me. It's more of an idea movie, you know? Although there's obviously plot stuff, but I mean, it was really good. It's just, I don't think it was quite, I mean, the movie, what was it? Decade? The movie of the decade? That's,
yeah. You know, I mean, we're unbelievably 5 years into this decade. So like.
Even so.
Is it better or worse than Oppenheimer?
I liked Oppenheimer more.
Oppenheimer's better. I mean, Dune 2 was amazing, but Oppenheimer's better. Dune 2 wouldn't even have like sniffed. The thing is, if Dune 2 came out last November and it was supposed to, it would have been up for Best Picture, but it would have been like below a lot of other options. It would have been below Oppenheimer, it would have been below Killers, it would have been below I Hate Poor Things, but it would have been below Poor Things on most people's list. Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, Zone of Interest, like that's like six movies just last year that are better than Dune 2.
Okay, is Dune 2 better or worse than Avengers Infinity War?
Oh, better, obviously. Better. You can't even compare it. Like, the thing is, I love Avengers Infinity War. I love Endgame. I love a lot of Marvel movies. You guys know that. But this is, like, so much better than every Marvel
movie. It's like a real movie with, I mean,
Is it, okay, wait, this is important. Is it better or worse than, I had a really good one a second ago.
I was gonna say, well, you said this is important and probably forgot.
I did. I forgot because
you shit your pants on camera.
Then okay, is it better or worse than The Eternals?
What are you doing? Great movie. Oh my god!
I thought you were gonna say Dark Knight. Honestly.
Oh no, I wasn't. No, it was gonna be a joke one. Initially, I was thinking Eternals, and then I thought of a better one, and I can't believe I got it. Ah, god damn it.
Well, while you're thinking, Zach, what do you think? Is it better than Dark Knight?
Oh, I don't know. That's really tough. Because they're both they're both just very, like at a certain point, each movie is just trying to do what it does, and it does that, right? So it's really personal preference. I will say that I think probably the third one is going to be the best one.
So I have not read the books, but I read ahead. And like I read the plot synopses of what's coming. I think the third movie is going to be really fucking weird. I don't know if it's going
to
be good.
I trust him to land it. And again, like I'm a big like thematic idea guy. So I think if you can pull that off, and I don't think he would do it if he didn't think he could pull it off.
I mean, the fact that he ended from what I now know, like, and it makes sense having watched the movie. This is not a spoiler, Alex. The fact that he ended the movie before the book actually ends to include like the actual ending of the book in the next movie, because Doom Messiah is not long enough to be a whole movie. Obviously his intention the whole time was to do the second book. He certainly can't go any further than that. Like after that, it gets,
for sure.
Very. So skip ahead. Alex, is not a spoiler for this movie at all. This is a spoiler for two books from now, but it's never been into a movie. Skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but Paul's son turns into a sandworm. So, you know, isn't born a sandworm, which would also be pretty weird, turns into a sandworm in the third book. So, they can't make this shit after the next one. The third one's going to have to be the end because they just can't go any further in the story.
Interesting. Yeah. Does the sandworm turn into a popcorn bucket?
You would think, but no, he just lives for 3,500 years for some reason.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty weird.
Sounds less bangable than a popcorn bucket.
Objectively, no, because like presumably they have a way to reproduce the sandworm, and a popcorn bucket doesn't.
Yeah.
That you know of. Have you tried yet?
Well, I was going to say, if you put a hole in the popcorn bucket, does that count? I would say no, but, you know.
Wait, you know what popcorn bucket I'm talking about, right?
Yes. No, I know. But that one has teeth, bro. Like, I know it's funny as
like, you but really your hand get stuck in that thing trying to pull out popcorn? Because, like.
No, I'm pretty sure it's, like, silicone. Like, the little, whole, like, teeth.
The you have to like pull the little. You have to pull the little like rubber tassels in the other direction. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like silicone. Like, so you just put your hand in and then it comes out easily. Yeah.
Okay,
it's gonna be a lot of sticking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems not worth it.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of just for the meme want to get one if I go see the movie.
Good luck to you. If you go see the movie.
No, I will go see the movie.
I was gonna say, what the fuck?
You should see
I definitely got to go see it. Like, I just
I saw it in Dolby.
That's what I want to see it in.
Honestly, is so good. The sound is pretty important.
Dude, Dolby Cinema is.
I don't regret seeing it in Dolby.
It's worth it.
Dolby Cinema should sponsor our podcast.
I want to see it again in IMAX at some point, but I'm not gonna like rush back out to see it in IMAX. Yeah. But Dolby was. I was glad I saw it in Dolby.
Yeah. All right, let's move to our next question, though, because it's a lot of nerd talk early in the show. I should probably bring back categories at some point, but it's been so much easier.
I was surprised you went to that one so early.
Yeah, it's been easier just reading them in order. All right, Schwinn wants to know, what's your favorite thing about me? Zach, you go first, since you have
his the best audacity. Reaction. The pure audacity of everything Schwinn does.
Do you love his audacity the most about
him? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's a pretty good answer. Matt, what's your answer? What's your favorite thing about Schwinn?
I just love his beard. It's so...
It is a good beard.
It's a good beard.
Yeah. I have a pretty nice beard, and yet it still makes me jealous. I wish I had.
No, his beard is better than yours.
Oh, it's I know. I said I have a pretty good beard, but it's not
I started to say that before you admitted that his was better.
I had already said it was better.
No, I know, but like, whatever. Go ahead.
Pure instinct. Shut that shit down.
I just wanted to happen.
No can do.
Oh, I got a shit on you. I got shit on you right now. I would say his gumption. He's like a real fun.
That's a great word, but another way of saying audacity.
He's got a lot of gumption.
A lot of gump.
He's real comfy.
Gumping everywhere.
Can you imagine Schwinn now on a podcast just like, I love you, OG.
Gumpity gump.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move to our next question. Oh, also rank the three worst things about Doug.
Poor Doug.
It's just absolute catching straight.
I love Doug too, but every single picture he ever sends when he like meets someone, his eyes are always super wide open and he looks like a psycho.
Yeah.
So that's a flaw.
I thought you were gonna say super red because he's very high, which would also
Maybe also very high, but his eyes are always just like like it's crazy. I don't get how he does it. Maybe that's just how he smiles. In which case, congrats on having super open eyes and not
sleepy
eyes like me.
Doug has normal eyes in real life. I can tell you that.
He definitely does, and they don't look particularly like huge.
Why is he staring?
He just opens them wide open. He opens them wide open for pictures.
That's just how he smiles. All right, you guys name some flaws now.
I don't know. I got a lot of flaws. I actually have to blow my nose. So, Zach, think of some flaws while I go blow my nose.
He types in capital letters. He types like a grandma.
Does he type in all
caps, by the way?
Does he type in all caps?
No, not all caps, but I believe he capitalizes where he should, which is non-internet cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what I do, too.
I know. That's because you're also not cool.
Well,
distinctly uncool.
Sorry I went to school and got educated and, wrote for a living.
The internet is a place for education, okay?
Yeah.
Where did this conversation go?
Just let me cook, bro.
I didn't hear... My sound's not on loud enough, so I couldn't hear what you guys were talking about. So it was pretty weird to come back to
Don't worry about it. What you got? What were you cooking up? You had all the silence to cook something up.
Nothing.
I don't know. I didn't hear your nose blow at all.
I put myself on mute.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't notice. I was waiting to hear it. I was going to like...
Why would I not turn on mute so that people didn't have to hear me blow my nose on?
I don't know. I thought it would be kind of fun to hear you blow your nose.
Well, sorry. This spot is going very off the rails. Doug, let's move on.
All right.
Next.
All right, next. All right, Jax365 wants to know, which is the better film, Deep Impact or Armageddon?
Skip.
Did you say you haven't seen
it? I've never seen Deep Impact.
I saw Deep Impact once, but I've seen Armageddon more than once, which tells me Armageddon's probably better.
Armageddon's great. I mean, it's stupid, but it's
great. So stupid, but yeah. It was so fun. Like, let's go drill into an asteroid and blow it in half with a nuke.
It's also like the idea that it was faster to teach oil drillers to be astronauts than it would be to teach astronauts to drill oil.
Or to just use a drill in general.
Right. Yeah. Like you can't, astronauts are like genius scientists for a reason. You can't just make these like oil riggers astronauts.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, all you got to, it's real easy. All you got to do is just like turn on autopilot.
Yeah, and what do you all do? Does itself, space, obviously. And you go up to the moon, whatever.
Yeah, just go up, go land on a moving asteroid and you know, no big deal. It's just like parallel parking or K-turn. Yeah. You do K-turns, right?
Definitely.
Wait, Zach, have you not seen Armageddon either?
I haven't seen either of those movies.
You've never seen Armageddon?
I feel like that's the one that started the black eye leaves and then dies thing, right? Wasn't that the cliche, the start of that? I feel like one of those
from horror movies.
Wrong.
I think that's been in like a lot of movies before Armageddon.
I know, but that like I have an association of drilling into an asteroid and sending the guy to die. Even though I've never seen
it. I mean, maybe it's been a long time since I've
seen that. Is that what happened?
But the
Alex is nodding, by the way. I
think so.
I haven't seen Armageddon in a long time.
I mean, but I can also remember even like that happened on oh my god, what was the movie that I always associate learning that like movie trope, that horrible racist movie trope with was Deep Blue Sea, I think. The one with Samuel Jackson with the giant shark. And Samuel Jackson is giving this like impassioned speech, and then the shark just like blasts through the window and fucking gnaws him in half. Wow. And it was like relatively early in the movie.
Spoiler alert. Was that? I feel like in the early 2000s, that was a thing, and I don't really remember any further details.
I really think it's more of a horror thing than like a.
I guess. But also, the thing with that movie that was funny was that they had Samuel Jackson die first, but then LL Cool J, if I remember correctly, was the cook, and he was like one of the two sole survivors at the end. So, like,
they just didn't want to pay Sam for a movie, they didn't want to pay him to star.
Yeah,
give me two scenes, you're gonna die. Yeah. We're not paying. Get the fuck.
Yeah, we don't have the money to pay you for a starring role. We'll pay
all like that.
Why did you incredulously say LL Cool J? He's been in tons of stuff.
I've never seen him in a movie,
dude. He's like been on one of the like NCIS's for like 15 years.
You seriously think I'm the type of person who watches NCIS? Alex?
I don't watch it either, but I'm aware it exists.
Do you know me at all?
It's honestly, wild. It's because it's him and. And oh my
Chris
god, who's on
Chris O'Donnell? Is that
no? It's but like who's the other old rapper who's on?
Ice-T
is on. Yeah, Ice-T is on CSI or whatever, right?
Isn't he on? I thought he was on SVU.
SVU, that's what it is.
Yeah,
Law and Order. Yeah,
yeah, wow. And he's been on SVU like for forever.
Yeah, that's so funny. So fun. There's a whole thing with like him just like very incredulously saying like insane things about these, you know, like cases they have on that show. I've never watched Law and Order before, but
I used to watch SVU semi consistently, and he was a good character. Yeah, he's just like the deliver the crazy line character, and he's like one of like the detectives or whatever, but not like the main detective. I think that's his role. So he like helps them out or whatever, but he's not like on every case or some shit.
It's just so the shit we end up talking about, like this is a question about Deep Impact or Armageddon, and we're not talking about Ice-T on SVU.
It's because we went from the Black Eye Leaves first trope to Deep Blue Sea to LL Cool J to NCIS to SVU.
I know how we got here.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
It's crazy webs we weave here.
It is officially listed on TV Tropes, by the way. 100%. So this is a real thing.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a real
thing. Nobody
was denying. I'm not denying it's a real thing. You just said it started with Armageddon.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm trying to get a history now.
You were like, wasn't that? Didn't that start on Armageddon? Like, no, I don't think it did.
All right, can we move on?
What are we doing here?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious what this research is going to provide about when the first time of that trope.
The first citation is 80s horror shows.
Oh, what did I tell you? It's a horror thing.
Yeah, 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 good call.
Yeah, and Armageddon definitely did not happen in the 80s. So I think that's soundly.
Ben Affleck is in that movie. So I think it came out in like 2001, I think.
Yeah, or like 99 maybe. I don't know, somewhere around that. I just remember I was in like.
It had to be after Good Will Hunting because like Ben Affleck was already famous.
Oh, okay. So maybe like 2000, 2001.
I'm thinking 2001, but let me look.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's move to our next question. So this 98. Comes from 98 was Armageddon?
Yeah, Good Will Hunting must be 97 then.
Yeah,
I guess so. 97. Good Will Hunting 97. Okay, anyway.
All right, next question comes from Franklin Chubb. Which big name player were you most disappointed to discover was completely washed up when they got to the Knicks? And which would you most have enjoyed watching if they had been restored to full health? For example, T-Mac, Penny Hardaway, Glenn Rice, D-Rose, Joakim Noah, Antonio McDyess, Kemba Walker, etc. So anyone who knows anything about me will know my answer, so I'll just save it for the last bit.
Can I answer for you to prove that I know you?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually really funny because you nodded like in knowing, and Zach's got a look of like, oh.
Fuck. No, I know exactly who it was.
Who is it?
You have the jersey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know. Yeah, right. You just had a look on your face of like, oh, fuck, who's he talking about?
I got you.
All right, Zach, you go first.
Good, Zach.
I'm not prepared. Matt,
all right, fine. Matt, go first. No.
I don't want to steal your thunder, so I won't pick him, but that would have been my answer too.
Yeah.
All
right, fine. I'll just say it. We could just say it together. Tracy McGrady would be the number one. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it would have been, he was really good. So that would have been.
I mean, he was honestly one of, like, at least in my opinion, like of our generation of players that we got to grow up with, like through like our, like, you know, like time when you start caring about sports around like 10 years old through like, you know, early 20s, whatever. I think he was the single most electric player that played basketball during that time. And granted, didn't have the most success, didn't win rings, didn't even fucking get out of the first round of the playoffs for most of his career until like he was decrepit at the end. But it was mostly due to bad luck of like bad team building on teams that he was on, sometimes his own health, but usually he was there for the playoffs and his teammate that was supposed to be there was not there, which was the problem. Whether it was Grant Hill or whether it was Yao Ming, like those guys just were even more injury prone than T-Mac was, which is why he often, you know, he would enter the playoffs as like a 5 seed or 4 seed or whatever, and then get knocked out in the first round because like he just didn't have any help. But yeah, I think if he was prime on the Knicks full strength, I mean, look, he would have come in during the worst time of that team, and the situation would not have gotten any better for him as far as team building is concerned, because he would have come onto an Isaiah Thomas team and they would have still fucked it up heavy. But it still would have been really cool.
Well, no, that's not how the question works. So we're okay. We get him in 2009 still, but he's still good.
Oh, so like he gets traded over from the Rockets, but like it turns out the injuries hadn't sapped all of his ability yet.
Exactly. So the question is restored to full health and not completely washed up. So like, I think we're supposed to imagine him when he gets traded to them in 2009 or
just like 2010.
That was the beginning of 2010, actually, right? The beginning of 2010.
Yeah, it was 2010.
Yeah, because it was right before the LeBron summer.
Before the LeBron summer.
So it's 2010, that team, and then presumably he's still on the Knicks to recruit LeBron. So you know.
And then the Knicks get LeBron, and then they win all the championships the Heat did, one or two more.
That's right.
Not one, not my two, other not three, not thought four, was, five, not six.
My other thought was Kemba, just because like we were so excited for that season. And part of the reason was we were like, oh, they got Kemba on such a steal. And then he was awful. So, you know, it would have been nice if he wasn't so awful.
I kind of forgot about that, to be honest. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's just kind of wiped
out. Yeah, I mean, that season's like so, like, at the time it was such a bummer. But now, because made the playoffs the year before, made the playoffs last year, they're going to make the playoffs this year. Like, we don't even care about it anymore. But
that was the second Randall season, was it?
It was the third Randall season. The first Randall season, remember, was 18-19. And then
1920.
And then right, because the COVID year was the obviously made the playoffs. That was the second Randall year.
Well, technically the there was two COVID years, but like the first COVID year was
1920 is the COVID year for basketball because the Knicks just stopped playing. The Knicks never played again.
Right. So that, but that's the year that they stopped because of
COVID. Right. But COVID, the year they played like with empty stadiums for most of the season was 2021.
Julius Randle, MVP.
Yeah.
I'll throw a name out there that was not on Franklin Chubb's list. So it seems like we have original thoughts. I just thought of one that I think is pretty good. Meta World Peace in 13-14.
That would have been nice.
Not completely washed. That would have changed things a lot that year.
I mean, that team needed to win literally one more game to make the playoffs.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he was cooked that year. Like, he was.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if he would have been worth one win, they would have made the playoffs. And then,
if he was like his old self, if he was like, let's not even say Pacers, Ron Artest, if he was Lakers. Like Kings or Lakers, totally different situation.
Yeah. They would have definitely made the playoffs. They were literally they missed it by one game that year, despite how awful they were.
Yeah. Yeah. And he probably would have, I mean, because that was the Bargnani year too. So him being really good would have probably meant getting to play Bargnani less, which would have been a huge win by itself. Maybe if he's really good too, then they pulled the trigger on the Kyle Lowry trade, despite Dolan being worried about the optics.
Yeah. I don't know if they would have done that.
But maybe. There would have, I think it could have been interesting. But
honestly, though, like, that creates a domino effect where Leon Rose is probably not the president of the Knicks. So
yeah,
I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. Actually, if we want to go with another one, I guess if we could have turned back time and gotten somehow at like 39 years old or whatever, prime Marcus Camby the year before, that would have been pretty good. Backing up Tyson Chandler,
could barely move. He and Kurt Thomas both, like, they were just, like,
died. I mean, Kurt Thomas did his best, like, and then he just broke his foot or whatever.
Yeah.
And then didn't sub himself out and played like another 5 minutes. Yeah. And then subbed out and then got done for the season.
Yeah.
Or Rasheed Wallace, actually. Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, I mean, he was good when he played. He just got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for Sheed would have, if Sheed was prime Sheed, then they wouldn't have done Mel at the four.
True.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they didn't do it in the playoffs anyway, so what's the difference?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And then they went back to Amari
in the playoffs.
And then you could have had Amari coming off the bench.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of nice. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any other names. Steve Francis was another one, too, which I don't think was on that list. Steve Francis.
I mean, could you say Marbury? Like, he was younger, but he...
I think Marbury actually had some of his best years statistically.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't actually know if he counts.
That was just another case of the team really sucked. Yeah. And he had Isaiah Thomas as a coach, which is
what about Sasha Vujacic?
Yeah,
totally Vujacic. Yeah.
Really needed prime Vujacic.
Okay, you know what? Honestly, a good answer might be Amari. Like, he had obviously one good year, but after that, he
just
couldn't play.
Yeah, if Amari could have been his Phoenix self for the entire run here, they might have won a fucking championship.
Yeah.
Like, it could have gotten damn close. Maybe.
Well, I don't know if he, Melo, and Tyson Chandler works. Like, I don't know if they work on the court together, all three of them.
If it was prime Amari, who's to say? You know,
like, yeah, but it's just.
Because then they would have been more motivated to make the trade for, like, Chris Paul or something, too.
Right.
And so then
maybe they don't amnesty Billups because they're not going to sign Chandler.
Yeah.
And if they don't sign Chandler, they're trading for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So.
Oh, yeah. Because that was that same offseason.
That's how that happened. They amnesty Billups to sign Chandler.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, then I think Paul got traded that.
Right. And then Paul got traded. Yeah. And they didn't trade for Paul. But what I'm saying is, I think, like, if Amari was not injured, they probably would not have signed Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
And would have traded for Chris Paul instead.
Yeah. And then could have. Still presumably found a good defensive center.
Yeah, they could.
Maybe not as good as
Tyson Chandler, but they could have found somebody.
But then they could have run small sometimes too, because then you would have had, because then they still had D'Antoni at that point too.
Mm-hmm.
And so then
they did.
So then you could have been like Chris Paul, like Melo at the four, Amari at the five sometimes, run like kind of like Marion.
They would have needed like a good 3-and-D guy. But
yeah, they definitely would have needed some guys like that. They wouldn't need like their Roger Bell type or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Interesting. Interesting question. Good question. Honestly, there's so many freaking what ifs in Knicks history. All right. Franklin Chubb also wants to know, how do you think Tibbs would celebrate if the Knicks won a championship? Zach,
I feel like it's been a minute. Tape, bro. Obvious. But man, he'd be grinding tape the next day. And I love it.
I don't know. All right. All right. Let's not say what would he do like when he got home or whatever. Let's just say what would he do during the parade?
Oh, I don't know.
We've seen pictures of Tibbs at the club.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a year or two ago. He would like the team drive him out to a club one time. I don't really remember, but I think he would like, you know, the stupid like smile that he gets everyone smile. I think he just had that on the whole time.
Do you think he would get like Tom Brady falling over fucking hammered?
Yeah.
No, I think he would.
No,
I think Julius would be carrying him around like a baby at a certain point.
The thing is, like, unclear. I'm actually curious if winning a championship would like just allow Tibbs to like release all of his demons.
No, and, like, it's going to be an existential threat. It would actually be a really big problem. You remember when KD won the chip and he was like he had that moment where he was like, oh shit, actually this is not actually representative of my problems and I have to figure some shit out.
I like to imagine that Tibbs would be like, wow, I'm healed. And then he would get married like a week later.
He'd like lose 70 pounds instantly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He'd like retire. He'd be like, I can't coach basketball anymore. I don't have any ideas in my head anymore because I've reached the promised land.
He's on a beach in Greece in a bikini.
Yeah.
Tibbs wins the chip, immediately goes on Love is Blind. And it's just like,
Tibbs on like, if they did Love is Blind in New York and they're just like,
Someone would call him out. Is that Tim?
Like Thomas. Yeah. You know, on the Thomas 66. Like,
yeah. It's just like you just hear on one side, it's like, hi, I'm Kelly. What's your name? It's like, I'm Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas.
And then she's like, oh, so like, what are your hobbies? I like basketball.
But I actually don't coach anymore because I finally won the championship.
No, I'm trying to find love.
Okay, cool. How old are you? I'm 68.
Oh, I'm 26. This is going to be a little weird.
And he's like, I got lots of money.
Piles and piles of money. I'll be your pay pig. I'll be your pay pig. I don't care.
Oh my God, he would get into that sort of shit. He'd be like, he'd have to give up control now because he's had control for so long.
You know what would be? It would literally be like what happened on the Love is Blind reunion last night with Trevor, but with Tibbs. I'd have him on the couch and be like, Tom, we think you came on this show just to be exploited monetarily as a kink.
Yeah, I probably came on for the wrong reasons. I'm pretty fucked up.
Spoilers for anyone that didn't watch the Love is Blind reunion.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what our intersection is there. I hope if people made it this far in the pod, which this is, by the way, maybe going to be our fastest one ever, I think.
We have
a couple questions left. Yeah. But if people make it this far in the pod and you're a Love is Blind fan, shout it out somewhere in the Discord because if we get enough support, we can make a channel for it. And I think
not just a channel.
Not just maybe a podcast.
Maybe a podcast. Who knows? You guys want to hear me and Alex's takes.
Love is Blind.
No, Love is Blind.
Oh boy. All right.
Maybe we'll get Zach to watch Love is Blind.
Gross.
Zach, you should watch it with us. It's really funny.
I will not.
Honestly, it's so funny. Especially this season. This season was one of like the funniest seasons they've had in a while.
I can't laugh at people like that. Honestly, it makes me feel bad.
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't love reality TV, but this show is different.
It's the only reality TV.
Literally what every single person says, I just want to be clear. Everyone's like, I don't love reality TV, but oh my God, The Bachelor, like Jesus Christ.
No, hold on. Okay, first of all, what's this voice you're doing? Second of all, this is, I don't know about Alex, but this is the only reality show I watch. It's just like so.
Yeah, it's the only one I watch. Other than like cooking shows. Cooking shows are like reality TV a little
bit. I watched one. I did watch one season of Too Hot to Handle, but it's stupid.
But it was also, yeah, I was like, ugh, I don't feel good anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, also, like, why can't these people not have sex for a month?
Like, it's hilarious, Matt.
I know, but like, come on.
They're like, oh, we can't fuck. And you know what? Like, I'd be doing
this. Wait, can we get tips on Too Hot to Handle? That's what we should have tips on.
Wait, okay, we get to do our deepest cut Nick's mailbag joke. He's doing just fine for 80% of the show. And then a VCR comes along. Yeah.
They got to blur out his hard on.
We can't show like, they have like they have the night cam and like you see like movement that are just blinking. And they're like, oh, who's Tom under there with?
You know, the blanket moves, and something falls out, and it's a VCR, but everyone hears it. It's
Wait. They like pull up in there with the camera or whatever, and they're like, oh, who's Tom with? He's like, oh, God, eject.
It's everywhere.
Oh, my God. Wow. All right, let's move to.
It'd be like that. It'd be like that. I think you should leave sketch where the you know the guy's only on the dating show to go on the zip line.
Yeah,
it's like he's like Tom. I think you're only on the show to fuck tape. No, I'm not.
All right, let's move to a more innocent question here. Which somehow that one turned not innocent, even though it's just that one
tips over. Totally normal question.
All right, let's move to a question that doesn't push us down this path of casting tips on dating shows. All right, Villain X wants to know, who's your favorite current Nick?
Brunson.
I'm going to disqualify Brunson because that's the boring answer. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to. I'm just going to disqualify him from my answer.
Okay, my answer
and
too.
I'm going to say it might be OG. Like, it was just so fun. What the fuck? He comes back and they're immediately the best team in the NBA again.
I think we just lost you for a second connection-wise, but it's okay.
It's okay. No. Just keep going. You're fine.
No. What'd you hear me say?
It was like, I think it's OG Anunoby. And then it was like, nothing. And then, but what the fuck? He's one of the best players in the NBA.
No. What I said was, okay, he comes back the other night and it's like, what the fuck? They're one of the best teams in the NBA again.
Yeah.
So I was like, true. I mean, it might be OG.
He's a Chad. He's a giga Chad.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Brunson, because he's the best player on the team. And
no, I mean, it's Brunson for me too.
But. He's also the man. Is the thing like it's one thing to be the best player on the team, but he's like a genuinely good dude, and everyone clearly looks to him as the leader. He's the culture of the team.
I will say, you know, I know he's kind of polarizing, but Josh Hart is really growing on me.
Like, I love Josh Hart. Yeah,
I know, but he's like polarizing because if he has a bad game, he's the first guy that everybody wants to turn on. And like,
yeah, but not us, not on this podcast. Not on this podcast.
I mean, like, I give him shit on Locked On Knicks all the time for being like, yo, if you're like, you just got to show some confidence, like shoot the ball with confidence, dude. Like, what the fuck? And he doesn't do that all the time. But that's the frustrating part is that you think that he's better than that. And you know,
he almost had a 20-20-10 triple double. Yeah. Those were imposters.
I honestly think he is immune from criticism for the next like 3 years after what he's done the last month and a half.
But also his the thing that like fully finally won me over the other day was when he got that like huge round of applause on his way coming out of the game the other day. And then they caught him on the camera, and then he like joined in and like did the whole like fist bump, like round up the crowd and everything. I was like, no, he gets it, man. He's made for the city.
I loved in the postgame they're talking to Tibbs, and he's like, so what was Josh talking about? And he's like, oh, he was complaining that I took him out before 2020. And they're like, wasn't he just saying the whole time that he didn't want to play 40 minutes?
And then he came out with like 39-30.
And Tibbs was like, yeah, he complains about everything, and I just ignore him.
It's funny. He's a funny
like,
dude.
It's just like it's really he like the way he acts off the court is clearly he's just a fucking baby on the court too. It's really funny.
Yeah. And he's just like off the court, he's just a fucking goofball. So I like guys like that. He's like high basketball IQ, less scoring inclined J.R. Smith. Like he's got that same sort of like goofball, like keeps the team happy sort of, you know, vibe to him, like takes all the interviews and like gives all the good quotes and all that shit. Like I don't know. I like him.
Also, is he a secret member of the Strict Corps? Because did you guys notice he's calling Tibbs Thomas lately?
Maybe. That's so weird. I think a lot of people condescendingly call him Thomas.
Sometimes. I know. I'm joking around. But so I thought that and I was like, that's really funny that he's calling him Thomas.
If he starts calling James Dolan Mr. Dolan.
Mr. Dolan.
Then we know he's in the podcast. Then we know he's in there.
That's who we should get for episode one. Honestly, is there a better Nick to have on this stupid show than Josh Hart? Probably not. I think he's
We could all stand next to each other. We'd all be the same height.
That's true. He's our height.
He's kind of weird, actually.
He's a fucking. He plays the four in the NBA, and he's the exact same height as we are.
You know, they've got a new little podcast that like they're trying to get off the ground. Maybe we should see if they want to do like a crossover, like Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. Like we're established. We're almost at 100 episodes.
I don't want Brunson on this podcast. No offense. He's very boring. Josh Hart is like, he would be so funny.
I wouldn't say he's like boring. He's just, he's like very trained. He's media trained.
Yeah.
Like, boring. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next question comes these next two. Well, oh, Villain X is typing.
We might get another Villain
X. We might be getting another one. So we got one from James here that says, if you were to have a falling out with each other, what would be the most likely reason why? I'll say.
Where does he come up with this?
I don't know, man. I'll say James engineering it in a dialogue.
I was going to actually pick James. I was going to pick James. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be James's fault. Clearly.
Definitely.
He's a little, weasel. He's a little weasel.
What would be the wedge that he would try to drive between us?
Maybe your mom? Seems right. I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
We just love each other so much.
I don't really have any problems. Yeah. So,
there's no reason for us to have a falling out.
Yeah.
I guess the main thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're also like we talk fairly often, whatever, but I don't think any of us would be like, oh, we're all each other's like absolute best friends in the entire world.
Of course not.
All the time, anything, you know,
perfect middle ground.
Right? Yeah, we have like this perfect friendship where it's just like we see each other enough to never have any reason to be mad at one another, or like little enough to never have any reason to be mad at one another, but enough and talk enough that like we're very familiar with one another and like know each other very well. So yeah, there's no reason for this to ever fall.
Me and Matt went on a double date and it worked out. I mean, it didn't really.
Well, it worked out for you. I mean, you went on a second date with.
I mean, worked out in that we navigated a tough circumstance.
Oh, we did. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but yeah, honestly, it was we were impressive. We were just like,
The thing is,
they both wanted second dates with us. I just didn't want a second date with the one I was paired up with.
Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, right?
Yeah.
That's really what we're saying.
Zach, is your cat licking itself right now?
Yes.
It's just so funny. I just see ears.
See the tail is just like.
No, I saw ears right there.
I can't tell because of his name.
I know what an aggressively cleaning themselves cat looks like.
Yeah. Well, can we boost him?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. We did just get a new question from Villain X. I'm actually going to put this before the last one.
I barely want to answer the last one, so.
I'm going to answer it. Fine. We'll do that one, and then we'll do Villain X's since you don't want to answer it. Dude or Adam wants to know, if you had to plan a murder, how would you do it? So, Matt, how would you plan a murder?
Well,
consider this your version of OJ's "If I Did It."
Yeah. I think what I would do is make sure I would put the glove in the dryer right after I did it.
To shrink it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you just burn it? That's what he did, right?
Probably.
I mean, I don't know.
Why don't you just burn it at that point?
No, because then I can't say if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Oh. Do they teach you about that in law school?
No.
I don't know what you guys do.
I will say, I feel like you have to be like, pretty stupid to commit premeditated murder in this day and age.
Yeah. What kind of murder are we trying to do here?
I mean, this is assuming premeditated because it says if you were going to plan a murder. Right,
but is it a person you know? Because even if it's premeditated, on a person you don't know, you could probably get away with it. Look it up. Just look it up.
Look it up.
I don't know. I mean,
99% of them are people who are caught because they know the other person. It's very obvious who did it.
But you're just like, I don't know. Like in our current society, you're always being tracked. You're always on camera.
Well, you're not a fucking idiot. You can work around that. I'm just saying.
All right. We know who the most diabolical one among us is.
Don't pick your phone.
I would invent the mask for Mission Impossible and then put on the mask. And it would be a James mask.
I like it.
And then I would have to crouch down a little bit because he's like 5'6".
And like turn your voice up a couple notches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talk like this.
I would personally, I would do a face-off thing with James.
Wait, but don't you need his face to do that?
Yeah, I would you know, drug him and kidnap him and then do a face-off and then murder someone as him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then frame him for murder after the drugging and kidnapping and face stealing.
Yeah, then swap our faces back.
Why don't you just kill James?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel like that's actually
where got him like tied up.
See, bro, that's how you get caught, though. This is what I'm
saying. Because they know that I know James.
You're right.
Also, they know that James is trying to drive a wedge between us as friends.
Yeah, that's. And we have to get rid of him.
So we have motive, but we have motive. That means we can't do it. Like
correct.
All right,
I think Zach is right, but like, why would anyone murder someone without motive? I guess that's where serial killers come in.
Yeah, that's what serial killers do. Yeah,
exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what kind of murder is Deuteronomy probing for here? Because that's all I'm saying.
All right. Well,
all right. I would blackmail the president and then get him to do it.
The president. Of the United States.
Then he can't be arrested, according to
our and then he just he has to do it. He has to do it in international waters, so it's a federal crime, and then he can just pardon himself.
Yep.
Oh shit!
Pretty clutch.
That's crazy. That is clutch. Michael Jordan game six.
Just clutch. Just hear Joe Biden like doing a press conference, being like, "I'm pardoning myself." It was in international waters.
So basically, what I'm getting out of this too is that all you have to do to commit a murder is just commit a kidnapping of the president's child.
Right? You know, that just made me think of the Parks and Rec episode where, like, I don't know, Andy's doing one of his stupid Burt Macklin things, and he's just going like, "You took the president's rubies."
Yeah. Also, wait, if you kidnapped Hunter Biden, do you think Joe Biden would just be like sick?
The whole problem is that Joe Biden loves his son too much, and so he like, you know,
keeps covering up for him.
Yeah, not covering up for him. I don't actually think that's what's happening, but like he keeps like let's not like get into a political scandal on this podcast, but
yeah,
he, like, you know, he loves him, and so he won't like disown him, so he can keep like doing this shit. And
I mean, yeah, I guess not covering up, but just like kind of not being like, "Hey, man, you're kind of a piece of shit."
Yeah, he doesn't want to cut him out of his life because he loves him too much. So
that's awkward, exactly. Yeah. He just loves his son. Wow,
which is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
So beautiful,
Alex.
All right, come on, Alex. That was a pretty solid question. That worked out pretty good. Despite you not wanting to answer it, Matt, I think we...
Well, I avoided answering how I would do it.
So how would you?
No,
the face you just
told you, I'd kidnap Joe Biden.
Wait, now you're kidnapping Joe Biden himself?
Yeah, I always said it was the president that I kidnapped.
I thought you kidnapped... I think you kidnapped
Hunter. You made it, Hunter.
If you just kidnapped the president, what would be their motive to actually do it for you?
I don't know. Whatever. I didn't think it through. Just move on.
You have to give them something to care about.
You're right.
Like... Otherwise, he'd be like, "I'm like 90, like whatever. Just I've run my course. Throw me overboard." Like, I don't know. Anyway, all right. Villain X wants to know, if you were to do a dinner party together, who would be invited and what would you make? Assume whichever house can host the larger party. Well,
so you have a home, Alex.
Sort of. I have a one bedroom condo, probably slightly big. It's definitely bigger than Matt's apartment, probably bigger than your apartment.
I have a pretty big apartment. Neither of you guys have ever seen it. Just saying, just flexing real quick.
Is your apartment bigger than my apartment?
I think so.
Okay.
How many rooms do you have?
Four.
Oh, well, it's definitely bigger.
It's a one bedroom. No, it's one bedroom, but it's a bedroom, living room, kitchen, bathroom. It's four.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Okay, then I have four rooms.
There's like a big space. Am I going to give everyone a fucking tour?
No, you
have to see your apartment.
No, well, my place is definitely bigger, dude. I've got a bedroom.
I'm sure your place is bigger, Alex.
That face he has when
he's frozen. Yeah, he's frozen now. That's great.
Am I the only one that this has happened to?
It seems that way. Yeah.
Now it's my turn for my connection.
Yeah, you froze.
Yeah, there he is.
There we go. Anyway, my place is bigger, I think, because I have...
It is. It has to be.
I have a bedroom, a den... A living room.
Okay.
A dining room.
You have a bunch
it's bigger. All right. You're hosting the party.
Okay.
Yeah, you're cleaning up also. So
now that we've had our junk measuring contest here.
I never said I was hosting it. Like, I'm like, oh shit, here, you guys have been here.
That means Matt has the biggest dick. So, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, all right. So, what's the rest of this question? So, we figured out we're hosting it.
We're going to be invited to the movie.
Making meatloaf. We know that.
Yeah, I do love making meatloaf.
You would have been. You would
have Alex, you're too predictable, bro.
It's one of my favorite things to make. Actually, you know what I could make if I want to be fancy? You know what I made? So, there's this restaurant in Montclair called Pasta Ramen that my wife and I have liked going to. It's like very fancy. And they have, so they do Italian Asian fusion. And so they make a cacio pepe ramen. And I attempted to copycat that myself and I did pretty good. So maybe I can make that. That would be a nice fancy dish.
Can't say everybody. That sounds good, but I respect it.
Wait, did you say you can't say it sounds good?
Yes.
Oh, it's really good, dude. Yeah, it's.
I don't believe you, but
you would be amazed at how good, like Parmesan and like miso go together. It's actually a really wild combo. It's very good. Yeah. So yeah, I can make that. That would be pretty yummy. Maybe like bake some bread or something. I don't know. That'd be fun. All right, but who would we invite? Not James. That's for sure.
He was too far away.
He was too far away. Even if he could fly out.
Schwing can come.
Schwing can come.
That's it.
What about, like, we actually don't have any friends, so.
No, we could have like Drew and like Baby Zach come.
I don't have a wife.
We can invite Ben Stiller, maybe.
Yeah, I don't want to call him out, but he does not do anything wrong by not responding to the DM about coming on the podcast.
Yeah, what's he gonna do? I bet every single podcast in Nixosphere is hitting him up right now.
Like, no, yeah, because we're like, you were on the only like Nix player run podcast. Like, do you want to come on our blog podcast?
In fairness, he does retweet our shit.
Yeah. That's cool.
He is a big time friend of the Strickland.
Yeah.
Shouts to Ben. We call him Ben now.
Who
do you think his favorite Strickland personality is? I hope it's Zach, just because it would be so funny if he's like, I listen to the mailbags. I love that guy, Zach.
It's probably, honestly, I think it's probably Jeff, because he loves all of Jeff's game tweets.
Yeah, so, you're probably right. Also, like, yeah, I can't imagine him enjoying Schwinn's rants. He doesn't have time for that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a toxic personality.
Yeah, he doesn't have time for that.
He's too wholesome for Schwinn.
Yeah. What's this guy's deal?
What about we could see if Merrill wants to come. He has been on the podcast, and he lives in New Jersey.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be fun.
You think Dallas would come from wherever the fuck he lives now?
Doesn't Dallas still live in California?
I don't know. Didn't he move recently?
I thought he still lives in San Diego.
You should dox him right now.
I could.
The city that someone lives in is not doxing, guys. I was joking
about Alex taking it further and literally doxing him, dumbass.
No, I'm not having this. I'm sorry.
I know that wasn't doxing.
Look, Zach didn't say that Armageddon was the first time a black guy died first either. Okay.
Alex doxed himself 10 minutes ago by saying the restaurant he goes to all the time. So if someone wanted to go find him, now that look.
Yeah, but that restaurant is nowhere near my house, so.
Well, I don't think that matters.
Or are you just saying that because you don't want to dox yourself?
No, I actually don't. I can't afford to live up there, so it's fine. I just go there.
We'll just follow you home, dude. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, people can if they want.
they know where you work.
I'd be flat. That's true. If people look close enough, they can find where I work. So, if they really were that desperate, yeah.
We're going to get Alex murdered.
Sweet. Yeah.
And maybe. Tell them how to do it, too.
We gave them the whole blueprint. And there's no motive.
The entire podcast is evidence. It's crazy.
I actually did get a little nervous between questions after we finished them. I was like, is the FBI going to listen to that and be like, this guy was joking about kidnapping the president?
I'm pretty certain that they would know.
Yeah, I think you're fine, but also if you're not, sorry, man. Also,
there might be a combined 750.
It was very clearly a joke. I'm definitely not doing that.
So there might be a combined 750 people total that listen to the show.
Yeah, but three of them are our FBI handlers.
One of them is an AI that's transcribing it to find threats to Joe Biden.
So. Yeah, but they're Strickland friends, so it's fine.
It's a joke. AI. I promise it was a joke. FBI guy.
Like, he's 100% serious.
I would never.
I would check
it out. He told us in the chat, actually, which you can't see, but he said, I'm very serious. Deadly serious.
He wrote us in the side chat. He's like, yeah, guys, I'm lying. But
he's like, deep now. I don't know.
Look, we have to go talk later. Meet me in person. We can't say this over the phone. Like, meet me in the country. We're going to go over this later. So
he'll bring me off.
You know who would actually kidnap the president that we haven't heard from a while? Rick Sanchez.
Hmm.
Pretty sure he's done that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice shift there.
Rick and Morty reference. Yeah.
We haven't done our Rick and Morty shtick in a long time.
I know.
He has the mug.
That's what reminded me because I saw this mug.
I've been drinking. Guess what I've been drinking all night? Because it's late night game. I made coffee because, I can't stay up till like 1 a.m. recording podcasts.
5 a.m.
Speaking of which, we already missed the first like 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Oh my God. Woe is me. All right. Well, hey, we hit an hour too. I was honestly, I feel like we cheat people out because we've done like 2.5 hour podcasts if we don't at least hit an hour. So we hit an hour.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. This was episode.
Oh, I think 93. Oh. I didn't look. I think 93.
I think it's 93 too. So I'm just going to roll with it. Don't look it up.
93. Let's do it.
Episode 93 of NicksMail.bag. Thank you all for listening. We will see you in approximately 2 weeks or so. Till then, thank you.
Playoffs.